Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Luther came home after meeting in Schmalkald at the famous meetings for which he had prepared the Schmalkald articles. He was not feeling well, of course. He had suffered numerous illnesses. Got home about this time of the year and proceeded to preach on the lectionary from that period from Easter to Pentecost, and he preached on this text. You're weary, aren't you? It's the end of the year. I'm weary too. It's district convention season. And I went to Luther yesterday to pull a few thoughts for today's sermon. And against my better judgment, I thought, I'm just going to let Luther preach to you a bit, just a couple of pages. It's good for your soul, and it's even better for mine, I think. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. This is the plain and simple meaning of this text. Christ is speaking here about the future afflictions the apostles will encounter after his departure. He says, I have yet many things to say to you. Many things about what? About much suffering, grief, persecutions, heartache from the devil and the world. He has spoken exclusively about the suffering which they must experience for his sake and also of the consolation which they will find in their suffering. But he means that because they do not yet understand this and cannot grasp it now, it is still little when compared with what the Holy Spirit himself will teach them when they have to experience this suffering. Then they will be instructed and strengthened so well that no affliction will prove too burdensome for them. At this point, they are far too timid and frightened to bear this, but then they will be able to endure and overcome all afflictions and will not only be put into one prison, but will go through 100 prisons and deaths. Who would ever have thought or believed that the precious message of the gospel would fare as the apostles experienced and saw, and as our own experience shows us today? Yes, who of us would have begun to preach if we had known in advance that so much misery, sectarianism, offense, blasphemy, ingratitude, and malice would ensue? But now that we are preaching, we must take the consequences and remember that this is not a human venture and that it does not depend on human power. This is not a human venture and it does not depend on human power, but that the Holy Spirit himself must do and preserve it. Otherwise, we could not bear it or carry out the task. In 1 Corinthians 4, St. Paul points out that after preaching a great deal and for a long time, he too had to learn and experience that the apostles must not only be a mockery and a spectacle to the whole world, but must be a curse and an offscouring and be regarded as the worst pestilence and plague on earth. Christ says to Paul, "Dear Paul, in this way you have to become acquainted with my power. My power is made perfect in weakness." And to Ananias, whom he sends to Paul, Christ says of Paul, "I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And so it is that all Christendom is a small group that must submit to, suffer, and bear more than all other people, whatever grief the world and the world can inflict on it. How could we conclude with certainty by ourselves that we who believe in this crucified Christ and are condemned, cursed, and executed by the whole world as God's enemies and the devil's own are actually God's dear children and saints? After all, we ourselves don't feel this. In fact, our hearts tell us something far different because we are still sinners full of weakness. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit and his power. He confirms this in our hearts. we are His. Therefore, we can accept it as true and in accord with His word. He enables us to live and die by this truth. Or who could believe that we unfortunate people who are executed and die like the most miserable human beings on earth, who are buried in the ground, consumed by maggots and worms, or are burned alive and reduced to ashes and dust, will all emerge from this stench, from the ashes and dust, in the twinkling of an eye, with whole, clean, shining bodies, more radiant than all heaven, than the sun and the moon, more beautiful and precious than all gold and jewels, purer and more fragrant than all balsam, gardens, and paradise. Of course, no one would ever get to the bottom of this on the basis of reason. It's altogether too far-fetched and entirely too unreasonable to suppose that a being as poor and miserable should be destined to be eternal heirs of God in heaven and shall live and be saved solely through faith and baptism, even though we now still have sin and death in us. The dear apostles surely found out, and their conduct toward their Lord Christ demonstrated adequately how completely impossible, not only difficult, but completely impossible it is to retain faith in trials if one does not have the help of the Holy Spirit. In his suffering and death, they shamefully deserted him. They denied him, and the faith in their hearts was practically extinguished by the thoughts inspired by the devil. "Behold," he said, where is your Christ now? What a fine king he has become. How well he has liberated Israel. How you have been put to shame. How miserably you have let yourselves be deceived." True Christians always experience this truth. Faith, which should hold firmly to the articles concerning Christ and his kingdom, cannot be retained by human power. The Holy Spirit himself must accomplish this. And it is a sure sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit and of his power when faith is preserved and is victorious in a real battle and trial. Therefore, let us cling to this truth which the Holy Spirit teaches, how we can retain faith in Christ, tread the devil, sin, death underfoot, bear and overcome the world's wrath and raging, build God's kingdom and gain eternal life. Of these things we should treat in the Christian church, not of the setting up of laws and regulations pertaining to external physical things. Or if it ever comes to the point that we should treat of such matters, let us at least first fight and work until we have the necessary things: the preservation of the pure doctrine and of faith, victory over sin, death, and devil, also love and obedience to God's commandments. When this has been accomplished, then we shall be glad to speak and decide about other matters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.